Good morning. So my name is Ed Travers, teaching pastor here at LifePoint Westerville. So grateful that you're here. I have to be honest with you, I was getting chills just watching that. And I've already seen the movie, Star Wars. I can't believe I get a chance to do this today. This is great. I'm glad you're here because otherwise I would have been doing it by myself. Hey, if you're here for the first time, I just want to welcome you. We have four campus churches at LifePoint in Mount Vernon, in Delaware, and also in Lewis Center. All four of the teaching pastors have been working together the last couple weeks to put together a drivecast, which is about a 3 to 5 minute podcast that you can listen to in your car on your way to work or whatever. So I want to just make you aware of that. You can find that on the media section on your website or on the app. So I hope that you guys are enjoying that and maybe taking advantage of that. Also, have an announcement to make. We have an upcoming event, and it has to do with this particular situation. Do you guys know our connections director, Rob Kane, and his wife, Danielle? Well, they have a new addition. It's a little picture of Finley Kate Kane, who was born late Friday night, early Saturday morning. And let me tell you what that means to you. We have a baby dedication coming up very soon, so if you would like to be a part of that, let Pastor Mark know that, but I'm super excited. Well, all week I've been kind of inundated with Star Wars stuff. I've been thinking about it. It's been on my brain. And then I saw I saw online that Billy Graham had died. And so my wife was in another room and the door was shut. And so I went to Tammy and I said, "Babe, I felt a disturbance in the Force." And she said, "What?" I said, "Billy Graham." Open flies the door. "You're kidding me." I said, "No, Billy Graham." Well, listen, here's a little picture of Billy Graham. This guy got to share the gospel with over 200 million people in his lifetime. Isn't that incredible? I have known so many people that have been touched by this guy and have received the gospel and become believers because of his ministry. In 1993, some of you guys weren't even born yet, I was at Cooper Stadium when the Billy Graham Crusade came to Columbus, and I was part of that. I was actually friends of mine were in the room, were with me that day, and we brought other friends. We were hoping that they would find Jesus. I learned they had before the crusade came to Columbus, they sent their teams here well in advance, and they would do training centers at different churches around Columbus. And I went to the training center to memorize scripture and to learn how to share the gospel. And it has stuck with me even to this day. So I just want to say that, our community has lost this incredible patriarch of our faith, but, heaven's gain. That, Billy is probably seeing things he's never seen before, and he's rejoicing in heaven. So just wanted to mention that. Just one of my heroes. In our current series, Now Playing, we've been looking at different movies, and the idea behind the movies are that good stories often point to the greatest stories. And we looked at Sweet Home Alabama, and last week we looked at Ferdinand, and this week we're looking at Star Wars. I was waiting on this one because I remember as a kid in the 70s when those movies came out, all up into the early 80s, it was a phenomenon. If you grew up in that generation, then you went from never understanding anything about Star Wars to now you're inundated with Star Wars. You know all the characters. You have the lunchbox. You have the folders. The little Star Wars figures. We had it all. We had pretend lightsabers that were really just plastic tubes of air. But Luke was one of my heroes. I couldn't wait to see Luke Skywalker back on the screen. Several years ago, when my oldest daughter was young, it was on May 4th, and all the people on social media were writing, "May the 4th be with you." And I thought at that moment, I'm like, I wonder if Abby, my oldest, would like to see the movie. And so I said, "Hey, do you want to watch Star Wars?" And she said, "No." I said, "Sit down and watch this movie with me." And she's like this the whole time. She's just glued in. Now she's obsessed with everything Star Wars. So we went all through the series and watched all of them together. We went in the order that they came out, 4, 5, 6, and then 1, 2, 3. So of course, when the new ones came out, we had to go to the theater and the whole family. But this is the one I wanted. Because the last one, Luke Skywalker, wasn't really in the movie. And I was waiting, when is Luke going to get in the game, right? And in this movie, of course you have the new characters. Rey is coming up and the Kylo Ren, and they're fighting it out. And we've got these different characters, Han, So all of this stuff is happening in the movie. But in this one, everyone's looking for Luke. Kylo Ren wants to find him because he wants to kill him and no more Jedis, right? And Ray, she's got something going on inside her. She doesn't even know what it is, so she needs to find Luke and hope that Luke will train her, but that Luke will come back and will help the resistance against the First Order. I mean, and all this is coming to this climactic battle at the end. And Luke is kind of off on his own island, really disengaged completely. He's not even involved. And my heart was kind of breaking. I've been waiting for the hero to come back. And in the movie, he's really dealing with a crisis of faith. And I remember as I was watching the movie, seeing this, I thought, come on, Luke, get it together. Be strong. Let's go. And when I was preparing for this message, I was looking for a theme, something that really pointed to something incredible. And there were so many themes in Star Wars. This is the hardest one I had to put together by far because there's so many great themes. But that's the theme that stuck out in my heart, that how is it that all of us have times in our life when we're trying to have faith, we're trying to grow even in our faith, we're trying to follow Jesus. When life gets tough, though, it can cause a lot of struggle. And I would guarantee you, if you're here today and you would consider yourself like, hey, I'm just kind of investigating this, I'll tell you what you have in common with someone like me, that when life gets tough, it does cause a ripple in your faith. It does cause you to question. So then the question that all of us have to answer is, well, how do we have a strong faith when the things outside don't look the way we want them to look, when circumstances happen that cause us to struggle? Where do we go with that? So it pointed me in this direction to this passage of Scripture. This story that I'm going to share with you that I think will help us with this problem is actually found in three different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's an incredible story. It's the story of Jesus taking his disciples out, and he's telling them they're going to go somewhere, and then something happens that threatens all their lives. So as we get ready to dig in, let's just pray, and then I'm going to share this with you, okay? Lord, we are so grateful that you are a big God, that you understand what's happening from beginning to end. You understand the details. You understand all the tough things that happen, and yet you are trying to break through to our hearts. I pray that even today, that you would kind of peel back the calluses of our heart, and you would help us to hear through your Holy Spirit and by your word what it is that you're trying to tell us. Lord, I pray you would make us strong in the faith. I pray that for some, even today would be an incredible step in their journey to know you and to grow in faith, Lord. We ask that in your Son's name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, open it up to Matthew 8. You can follow along on your app, in your listening guide. I'm going to share a couple things about this story. And in this story, the one we're looking at is Jesus calls his disciples to get into a boat, and they're going to go across the Sea of Galilee, and something's going to happen. And the first thing I want to share with you is that Jesus didn't promise us a storm-free life. Jesus never promised us that. In Matthew 8, verse 23, it says this, "And when he got into the boat, the disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we're perishing.'" Now, I want you to envision this. Jesus has his disciples, his 12 guys, that he's been pouring into. He's been sharing with them and bringing them along. He's told them, "Follow me." And in that journey, he's been healing people. He's been teaching lots of things, doing incredible things, and they're following him. And he says, "We're going to go across to the other side." And of course, they all get in the boat. And they're going across the Sea of Galilee. And the way that the sea, if you look at pictures of it, it's down in kind of a valley, and there's mountains up around it. So wind could come up and sweep down, and it could cause storms at times. In this case, I'm sure they weren't thinking that. And a couple of these guys were experienced fishermen. They had grown up on the lake. So they're out, they're in the middle or whatever, and the storm hits and it's thrashing around. Imagine you're in a little fishing boat, probably not very big, and it's getting tossed back and forth. Water's coming in, and now you're actually afraid for your life. And I imagine if you're like Matthew, the tax collector, you're just hanging on for dear life. But when you look over at Peter, the fisherman, and he's afraid, you have freaked out, right? And Jesus is asleep. It says in another one of the stories that he's laying on a cushion. He's out. You know, I thought about that. I mean, Ray goes to Luke, and she goes all that way, finally finds him, and he's like, "No, sorry, I'm done," and leaves and goes fishing. I mean, Jesus, where are you at? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like, Jesus, are you aware of what's happening right now? Or do you understand what's going on? But here's the thing. I have found in my life and in people's lives that oftentimes the biggest struggle of faith is because people don't realize Jesus did not promise us a storm-free life. That wasn't part of the promise. And I think maybe intuitively we think, okay, if I follow Jesus, if I give my life to follow him, then everything's going to get better. And then when something happens, it doesn't seem like, why would this happen? That causes us to question, and some people turn even away at that time. I think it's actually a gift that I learned this early. I grew up in a family, youngest six kids. Here's a little picture of my family from way back. I'm the little blonde guy up there front. That's my dad behind me. Some of you guys are thinking, he doesn't look like his dad. And I have thought the same thing. But, you know, anyway, so nevertheless, that has nothing to do with the sermon. But my parents, we were raised in a type of church where we didn't talk about Jesus much. We didn't talk about his death on the cross and what he did, and he actually wants to be in relationship with us. We didn't talk about that stuff. It was more like, hey, memorize these things. Don't do these things. Do the things the church says, and then if you've done all that, maybe you'll go to heaven someday. That was kind of the message that I got as a kid and as I was kind of growing up. But I had a best friend whose mom loved Jesus. Like, she was fanatical Jesus freak. Every other word out of her mouth was something about Jesus. So she would bake cookies, we would eat the cookies, and that would just kind of net us in so she could tell us about Jesus. So my first person who actually told me about Jesus, my best friend's mom. Well, so I kind of had this idea in my head that there was more to it, but I didn't really understand. I was just a kid. So I'm probably like 9 years old, 8 or 9, and it was a summer day, and these college students come up and to our front lawn and invite my brother and I to a Bible study or to a, what I think now might have been like a portable VBS, like a one-day vacation Bible school. And they said it was going to be down the street near my best friend's mom's house. And so I said, sure, we'll go. We went in and we told our mom, and my mom said, it's fine with me as long as it's fine with your dad. And so we told my dad, and my dad said, no, you can't go. I said, why not? And his face got red and a vein popped out, and he said, because I said so, you know. And I guess that church that I was raised in, if you leave that church, it means you're going to hell. So in my dad's defense, I think he was trying to protect us. But being the rebellious heathen that I was, I literally disobeyed my dad, and I went to the portable VBS thing and heard about Jesus. And at the end, they told us a story, how you would tell a kid that Jesus died on a cross to pay for our sins. Our sins make us away from God, and we need to be with God, and the only way for that to happen is something had to happen. So Jesus died on the cross, and he rose again, and he's now calling us to be in relationship with him, and if you want to ask Jesus into your heart, he'll become your Lord, and you'll be saved, and you'll go to heaven someday. They said, does anyone here want to do that? I said, I would absolutely like to do that. I just raised my hand. I'm like that. And then someone came up and they prayed with me. And, you know, I, as best I understood as a 9-year-old or whatever it was, I said, I'm going to become a follower of Jesus. And a year later, my parents sat us down and told us they were getting divorced. And I look back at that moment and I think, you know, this was probably as a young kid, this is the worst thing that could happen. You know, my parents decided that they were not only going to get divorced, but they were going to take 3 kids with mom and 3 with dad. And my dad was going to move on the other side of town. So that's what happened. We just completely split up. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. So here I am as a little guy trying to follow Jesus, but I'm thinking, my whole world seems to be coming undone. I learned early that Jesus does not promise us a storm-free life. So what do you do with that? The second thing I kind of leads me to in the passage is that storms reveal what we really believe. You and I can say we're followers of Christ, right? We can call ourselves Christians. But the truth is, you don't know how strong your faith is until it hits. You know what I'm saying? You don't know. And you need to know. Because if you have a strong faith, that is what's going to carry you through your life. A strong faith is contagious. A strong faith pours itself into the next generation. And unless you have a strong faith, listen, your kids are going to figure that out pretty fast. A lot of the reasons they're walking away is because they're looking at us. And they need to see a strong faith. Well, how do we get one? Well, the next verse says, verse 26, and he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, in Mark 4, it says that he stood up, and here's what he said. So imagine the storm is raging. The disciples are afraid for their life, which I would be too, right? I mean, I think all of us, if we're sitting in a situation that we can't control and it's we're getting tossed back and forth and it looks tenuous, we would probably do the same thing. And Jesus is kind of reprimanding them, which I think is weird, although it doesn't really explain the tone. And tone is everything, right? Did he say, "You guys have little faith"? Or was it, "Oh man, you guys have little faith"? I have no idea. And actually, I can read commentary after commentary. No one seems to know the tone. Either way, it seems like an odd thing to say to these guys at that moment. "Oh, you guys have little faith." And he stands up and says, "Peace, be still." And everything goes calm, like weird calm. Imagine that. I think it was completely normal for the disciples to have questioned right then and there. That would be very natural. I when I was watching the movie, I wanted Luke, you know, the Luke we saw at the end was not the Luke we saw in the middle of the movie. The Luke in the middle of the movie seemed shaken. And you find out why he was shaken. Well, his nephew, Ben Solo, he's kind of training him, and he sees all this incredible power in him, and he knows he's got to help him, gets turned to the dark side. And not only does he turn on Luke, but he takes out a lot of the people Luke was training. And Luke is now going, "The Jedi is horrible. There should be no more Jedi, because everything the Jedi touches just gets horribly destroyed." And he just wants to run from all of it. I honestly think that's the normal thing that you and I would do in any situation that we can't handle. And Jesus says, "Why do you have such little faith?" Why is that true? And I think when the storm hits, you're going to turn one of two directions. I think in the disciples, they turned towards the Lord at least, and he recognized they had little faith, but then he did something to completely grow their faith. I think when we turn towards the Lord, that is a show of faith, even if it's little. And for some reason, God really, really loves our faith. It says that angels long to search into the matters of faith. They don't understand it. I think when we have faith, even if it's little, it's extremely important to God. I learned that early. Here I was, this 10-year-old kid, you know, a year after I had kind of made this decision to become a follower of Jesus, even though I didn't even understand what that meant as a kid. But my best friend's mom was this, my first discipler, you know, teaching me about Jesus. I went to her, of course, because my parents are breaking up, and I'm devastated as a kid. And she said to me, she said, "Eddie, if you pray and you trust, God can put your parents back together." Which I, as an adult, I would never say that because I think it's foolish. But Miss Hakes had more faith than I do even to this day. And she said, "Look, I'll pray with you. I want you to start praying. And if we trust God, he can do this thing." And I prayed. I started praying. You know, "God, put my parents back together. Make them love each other." And nothing was happening. My sister, she came to me and she said, "Eddie, that's ridiculous. God can't make mom and dad love each other." And I said, "Well, Miss Hakes said so." So my faith was really in her really large faith. And I just thought, well, she said so. Maybe this can happen. So I'm praying. My parents were split up. My dad is dating person after person after person. And a couple years in, I was in four different schools in 2 years. I was in three different homes were moved. And my siblings were on different ends of town. The older siblings were kind of getting married and moving off. And everything kind of was changing. And it looked like nothing was happening. My grandfather, who lived out in California, my mom's dad, he had a heart attack, had open heart surgery. This was 1980, 81. And, you know, it wasn't like it is today. Not that it's easy today, but it was definitely difficult back then. But he prayed, "God, if I live, you can have the rest of my life. If not, take me home." So grandpa lives, and he lives in California, and he basically prayed, and he felt like God was telling him to move back to Ohio and start a Bible study for his family. So he does it. They sell all their stuff in California. They moved to north of here in Morro County, and they bought like a little farm, and they decided to start a Bible study for my family, which down on the west side of Columbus. So it was about an hour away from where he was living, but he decided he was going to drive down once a week on a Sunday night and do a one-hour Bible study. And my parents thought, we need a rally point anyway, a pickup for pickup, you know, on Sunday nights when you got to get the kids back from the weekend switch or whatever. And they thought it'd be good if the kids are all together one night a week. So we were all together. But my mom, of course, was going to come because her dad, but would my dad come? Well, you know, dad is dating around and he's in a different world, but my grandpa actually asked him, why don't you come to the Bible study? And my dad said, fine, all right, I'll go. Well, my grandpa just taught verse by verse through the book of Matthew. He just taught literally, here's what Jesus said, here's who he is, here's what he did, here's what sin does to us, and you really need Jesus, and Jesus is alive, and he's calling us into relationship with him because he's alive. And my dad becomes a believer. He changed. He became a different person. I got to watch all this happen. When I was 14, I was an usher at my parents' wedding. And I'm doing this. Like, what are you talking? I don't understand what God was doing in all that. But I never doubted God after that. And I know it would be foolish of me to tell you that God's going to answer every prayer because he hasn't answered all of my prayers. That was a big one, but it was early. And it was early enough in my life that I recognized he can stop the storm and he can put my parents together. He can do anything. There's no telling what he might do. Therefore, trust him. And I would say that has been the most important thing that's ever happened in my life because it has carried me through all of the storms. I might, you know, I was 30 years old and I'm a business guy. I just started a company and I thought I'm going to be going in this direction. And I felt God calling to plant a church down on Ohio State's campus. One of my friends said to me, this Ohio State graduate said to me, Ed, that's stupid. No one wants to go to church on campus. I said, I don't know how to say no to God, so I'm just going to say yes. You know, we planted this church, and it grew up, and it multiplied. We sent churches out and missionaries out, and lots of people gave their life to Jesus, and it was incredible. Best years of my life so far until now. I mean, incredible. So when God was calling me to move on from that and to plant a church in Westerville, I thought, I don't know anyone in Westerville. I mean, I don't even have a friend in Westerville. What am I going to do? I don't know. Did you look around today? How did God do that? Here's the deal, God can kill the storm and make it calm. I don't know what was behind the storm. I almost wonder if there was like a spiritual dynamic to it. Like, hey, he's out there, he's vulnerable, let's take him out. I'm just making that up. I don't even know if that's true. But imagine if the enemy were trying to take out a vulnerable Jesus and Jesus just stands up and goes, seriously? Boom. I don't know. I know this, if God says it, he can do it. And we need the storms in our life because God is trying to do something in us that will carry us through the next storm and will actually provide hope to those around us. That has to happen. And I would say, lastly, is you need to embrace your sense of wonder. Your sense of wonder is actually a gift to you. The fact that we can perceive something or imagine things, it's our gift. It helps us in our faith. In the movie, of course, Luke got it together, right? You can't have Star Wars without a hero. And Luke comes back, and at the end of the movie, and I don't want to give it away if you haven't seen it, but at the end of the movie, this climactic battle, and you know, they've got Leia surrounded, and she's going to die, and all of her people are going to die. The resistance is going to be crushed. And you know, Kylo Ren, he's like, let's pull everything we can, and let's just obliterate Luke. And Luke is standing there, and they just, you know, they're just, I am giving it away, aren't I? Darn it. I was too excited. And then he walks out of the cloud, and you're like, what? Like, how's he doing this? And then Kylo Ren goes and they face off and I'm like, how is he doing this? There is a sense of wonder that we have, but I believe it's because we were made to wonder about the greatest thing, God. In the next verse, verse 27, it says this, and the men marveled saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him? In the parallel passage in Mark 4, in verse 41, it says this, and they were filled with great fear. You see, the disciples went from being afraid for their lives to being in fear of the man. Not fear like he's going to kill us, fear like, oh my. How did he do that? And now, I don't know if you've ever been around someone that was so powerful that, you know, you were afraid of. Only one time in my life, I had lightning strike very close to me, and I've never been afraid of lightning. My wife, she's like, Ed, will you please come to the car and walk me back home? Why, babe? Because it's lightning out. I'm like, okay, no problem. But I've never been afraid of lightning. Until one day, I was walking my dog, and lightning hit right near us. I literally, I outsprinted the dog back home. Like, When you're around something powerful, you recognize and you become very aware that you're not powerful. And I think that's what was happening to these guys. They're looking at Jesus in a whole new light, like, oh my, how did he do that? The winds, the waves obey him? They marveled, it says in the Matthew Passion or passage. Marvel means to be filled with wonder or astonishment. You might say that's the root of worship. To recognize something for what it really is and then to be in all of that. When we sing songs, in a way, we're singing back, what I recognize of you is worthy of my praise. The way we live our lives, to lay down our lives and try to live out our faith, is by saying, we recognize you are worthy of our life. That's what it means to be in awe, to be in wonderment, to marvel at Jesus. And you and I need that. I think, I hate this story in my life, and I love it. I'm going to share with you. I've shared it before. If you've been around me, I share the story because God used it in my life to help me understand something. It was about a young man. I'll call this young man David. Here's a picture of him. His faith kind of went up and down. This picture is when he was actually given a testimony right before he got baptized in that little trough over on the side. I'm just kind of hanging out like, hey, you know. This guy, when his faith was strong, he was on fire for the Lord. And when something wouldn't happen the way he wanted it, he would usually go the opposite direction fast. And it was a pattern for him. And so I would meet with him on a regular basis, and I care about David, so I would spend time with him, and we would talk through his struggles, and I just wanted to encourage him. But, you know, he came to me one day and said, hey, man, I'm going to move to California. I said, okay, why are you moving to California? And he said, well, I don't know, I got some friends out there. I said, well, do you have a job, or do you have a place to stay? He goes, no, I'm just going to live on the beach. I'm going to get a tent. I said, well, okay, that's an interesting plan. I said, do you have another plan? He goes, well, my family's down in Memphis, and I think they're going to break up. My little brother lives there. I'm thinking maybe I should move in with him and maybe kind of help solidify the family. And I thought, I'm not a counselor, but I'm thinking, I know that's stupid. That's not going to work. But I didn't say that. I just said, do you think that's a good plan? He goes, well, probably not. I'm like, okay. I said, well, have you thought about maybe staying here? He said, why? I said, well, first off, you have a church family that actually cares about you and will help you walk through the struggle you're really going through. And this was like, it was early February. He said to me, he said, Ed, here's the deal. My lease is up on March 1st. My roommate moved out because they had gotten a fight. He goes, the girl he really, really liked rejected him, which was really the big deal. And he was just devastated. He said, I don't have enough money to pay for a new lease by myself. And here's the deal, Ed. I've been trying to get a job at Ohio State since September to be a nurse assistant because if I get that job, they pay really well and they're going to help me with my tuition so I can get my degree. That's what I want to do. And I've been putting in my application and they haven't even talked to me. They've never even returned a call or anything since September. I said, well, have you considered praying about that? He goes, no. I said, well, do you care if I pray about that? He goes, fine. You know, so we sat in my basement and I prayed. I said, God, will you please do something? Will you please reveal yourself to him? Let him see that you know, love him. Will you make something happen, God? In your son's name, amen. Amen. I didn't think anything of it. A couple weeks later, he calls me and goes, hey, man, you're not going to believe this, but Ohio State called me. I'm going in for an interview. I said, really? He went into the interview. Guess what? They hired him. You know what his start date was? March 1st. I went, you're showing off. Like, I honestly, I wouldn't say my faith was that strong, but I'm going, who are you? Like, who does that? God broke through for this. I mean, there's 7 billion people. He did specifically. He just, why would God do that? Because he loves. And my friend Dave took the job for a couple weeks. And he quit that job, moved to Memphis. His parents broke up anyway, and he ended up moving back to Ohio not long after that. He is currently an atheist. How? Why do we ask those questions? When the storm hits, here's what it's going to reveal to you. Where is your faith? And you are either going to turn with the little faith you have and say, Jesus, please, or you're going to turn away. And you need to know what kind of faith you actually have. If God is bringing a storm into your life, even right now, I want to say to you, I do not have the answer for your storm. I don't know why the storm has hit. I don't know if it's a financial thing, if it's a relationship thing, if it's a parenting issue, if it's a diagnosis. I cannot answer as to why those storms happen. I do know that God allows the storms on purpose because he's trying to teach us something about him, and he's trying to teach us something about us. And we need to know where our faith is. So if you're here, I just want to encourage you. With the little faith you have, if that's where it's at, go back to him. turn towards him and say, Jesus, please. He may be forging in you faith that will become solid, not only for you, but for your whole family. What he does in this moment by crafting strings into you through faith, by knowing who the rock is and where you can put your life, he may be trying to burn the me out of me through the struggle. And that's absolutely necessary for you and I to have a strong faith. And if you're here, I just want to say to you, if you have never made the decision to become a follower of Jesus, maybe you were like my dad. You were raised in a church and you tried to do all the church stuff. You tried to be good. And when you weren't good, you thought, I'll just do more ritual stuff. I'll say more prayers. If you're kind of in that vein, let me tell you something. There is so much more for you. By simply turning away from religious activity and turning towards Jesus with your faith, even if it's little, he'll meet you right there. And what you do is you give your life, you surrender to Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. That's what I would encourage in you today. So let's do that. Let's stand up and pray together. As we're praying, for some of you, you might need to be praying for someone else right now. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you know someone who's going through a storm, and I'm just going to ask you to pray for them at this time. If you are in the midst of it, right now, it's hitting, and you don't see any way out. I just want to encourage you that if you want some prayer, we have a team in the back that you don't even have to tell them what's going on. You can simply, as Taylor and Ashley and Tiff come up here to play, maybe just kind of slip out of your seat and head back and just pray. And if you're here and you've never decided to become a follower of Jesus, I'm going to walk you through a prayer in a minute, and you can do that. So let's kind of close our eyes and bow our heads and just have a time with God. For some of you right now, just start praying for someone else, maybe in the room or someone in your life that needs the Lord, and just start lifting them up. Lord, I believe that you also have many of us in situations that we can't control and see no way out of and don't even see a reason for it. Even in this moment, just talk to God and say, God, help. Help me to trust you. Please intercede. Grant mercy. For some of you, it's just give me strength to deal with this storm, to accept that you are allowing the storm for a purpose. I know that this is a time between you and God. Talk to him right now. If you're here and you have never given your life to Jesus, you simply say to him right now, God, I am sorry for my sin. I know Jesus died on the cross. I want to surrender my life to you, God. Please forgive me. Jesus, please be my Lord. Please come into my life. As you're praying that, you need to understand that it's not about the words you say. It's about the heart and the faith. God already knows what your faith is, and he loves faith. Understand that he is coming in to change your life so you'll become a follower. He will guide you from the inside out now. Something important when you make a decision like that is to share that with somebody. I'm just going to ask that before you leave the service today, if you've made that decision, either go back to the prayer team or talk to them. Talk to a friend in the room and say, I'm going to become a follower. I would love to hear that. We've got a resource we'd like to give to you. But God, I pray that you would work in all of our lives. Give us a strength of faith that will become a haven for others, Lord. Give us a strength to hang on and help us even in the first steps for some of us, Lord. In your son's holy name we pray.